Good afternoon. You're listening to the Annie Zinka Youth Empowerment Program Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Steve Mills, and I am the co-leader and co-founder of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Today, we're very excited to continue our monthly program, Dimensions in Diversity, geared towards LGBTQ plus youth in our valley. Every month, we'll bring in local, state, or national nonprofits to speak about resources for youth and their families. We'll also highlight the successes, challenges, and stigmas facing queer youth today. In-kind support for this program comes from Gay for Good Rocky Mountains. Today, we're very excited to be joined by Kim Zimmer, who is a technology integration specialist at Aspen High School. Thanks for joining us today, Kim, and Happy New Year.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you as well.
We're very excited about 2021, aren't we?
We've arrived. We've arrived at December 31st. I thought it would never come.
Let's have our listeners get to know you. So how long have you been in the Roaring Fork Valley and what brought you here?
Well, I moved to the Roaring Fork Valley last September. So I'm working on, getting close to a year and a half here in the Valley. So far it's just been a great choice, a great life choice to move here and get my career rebooted at Aspen High School and Aspen School District. And I'm just really happy.
So was it the job at Aspen High School that brought you here, or was it a combination of things that brought you here?
Kind of a combination of life things. And since this is an LGBTQ radio show, I'm happy to tell the whole truth, because it did have to do with my wife, who had been working for Aspen Ski Co. in a winter role, so seasonal, but in a great seasonal role that she never really wanted to give up. And we were having a lot of fun juggling life in both Summit County, where we were living. We owned a home in Frisco, and also then, jetting off to Aspen for the weekend here and there. And we just decided, I think when the position came up and it was such a good fit, it was the same position I was doing at a different school in Vail, actually. But I just couldn't resist the opportunity to get here and to have an equivalent position, and then to actually really get to focus on high school, because my career has taken me, I've worked in K-5, I've worked in K-8, I've worked in K-12, and now I work in high school. So I've sort of tried to, keep my career exciting, I guess you could say. And I do like to switch it up. I'm not afraid of change by any stretch. So this just seemed like the right time, the right position, and just got really lucky that everything went so well and that I'm able to be here now.
Yeah, you definitely didn't leave a bad place. Frisco is one of my favorite Colorado towns.
I know.
But living here, I'm a little, I'm partial. I love it here for a reason. And we're all definitely super happy that you and your wife made this home.
Yeah, and I can't admit to being a Coloradan. I'm a Chicagoan. I grew up in the Chicago area. I went to college out west. And so I lived the city life. I lived in a really awesome neighborhood called Andersonville with pride flags flying, and just had an amazingly tight-knit community there, was very supported. And, I have to say, like, moving involves risk, whenever you move and you completely uproot your life from what you're comfortable with and who you know. It's interesting. I still feel like I'm trying to find my LGBTQ community here in some ways, but then I know there's Gay for Good, and I know, obviously I'm working with our GSA at Aspen High School. And so I'm finding that as I, put more roots down here and I'm getting on with life in the Roaring Fork Valley, all of these amazing opportunities are popping up. So it's really cool to live in a Colorado ski town and still feel like I can be who I am.
Well, to be fully transparent, I'm not a native Coloradan either. I call myself a recovering Angeleno from Los Angeles. So
I like that.
So what pronouns do you use and how do you identify?
So I use she, her. I identify as a lesbian. I came out when I was 23. So not too young, not too old, kind of right there in the sweet spot. And, we're talking, that was 2003, a different time than 2020 in a pretty conservative suburb of Chicago. I went back to my old high school. I went back for the 4th of July 2 years ago. And lo and behold, I'm getting goosebumps. The high school GSA club came marching through the parade, and I was so elated by that. They handed me a pride flag, and I still have it because I was so shocked at how far my high school had come, because being gay was just not a thing. And I think people maybe our age like kind of resonate with that. Like that wasn't a part of my upbringing. It didn't even really occur to me when I was, 14, 15, 16, 17. I just had to mention that story because it made me so happy to see how far my high school had come and to kind of reconfirm my life choices again. And, it's okay. Even in your 40s, you still question things and life can still be hard. But I've been really fortunate everywhere I've lived to have open and welcoming communities. So I'm very lucky in that respect.
And that gave me goosebumps as well. And it kind of brought me back to thinking a year and a half ago when we had the first Pride Parade in Carbondale ever. Yeah. And that was the students at Carbondale Middle School. It was their idea to do this. And I remember being there that day and reflecting, I didn't live in a conservative area, of Los Angeles. I lived in a more, liberal area. But I still couldn't imagine that ever happening in the town I grew up in, outside of Los Angeles,
right,
let alone in this small rural town in Colorado. So it was really encouraging to see how society has progressed. And, obviously there's plenty more work to do. But it was definitely a super emotional day for everybody involved.
So. Yeah, actually, I moved here. I remember when I moved here that summer, it had just happened, that parade. And I also was like, oh my gosh, I've arrived in the Roaring Fork Valley. There's just so much more going on and so much more support and so much more open-mindedness. And yes, I love Summit County. And I know that those schools have GSAs in place and they're super supportive. And never for a second in Frisco did I ever, nobody batted an eye, my wife. And I was able to just that roll off the tongue. I was worried at first, of course. I didn't know what the vibe was in the community. I felt good about living there. I really wanted that small town, but still, kind of ski town life. But, Colorado is just a welcoming place in general, I think. And I've been just so, so stoked by how kind people are both here and on the other side of the pass. And it just gives me so much hope,
And I know we've been throwing around the acronym GSA. So for our listeners that aren't familiar with that, that means Gender Sexuality Alliance. And speaking of that, how are you involved with the GSA at Aspen High School, and what inspired you to get involved?
The number one thing that stood out to me, like glaring me in the face, slapped me upside the head, was the pride flags hanging in the foyer of Aspen High School. And there's a pride flag and a trans flag. And I had never actually seen that kind of visibility before in a school. There would be, if I felt really comfortable where I was working, which I did at Vail Mountain School, incredible community there as well. I would have my little pride flag on my desk, or I'd have something just symbolic, like on my, little dream board I had next to my desk, but never had I seen it like out and about in a high school, just hanging there, like basically in the center of the school. So I knew that something had to be going on that was really cool and really progressive at Aspen High School, and that this community was supported. And so the very first question I asked when I was standing in the foyer with the principal at the time, which another thing, Pete, listeners, I just remember in my interview, like I said, when I said the word wife, I always kind of watch, right? Like, so you want to see the reaction and you want to see if people are comfortable with that. I didn't actually know. You go into a job interview and you have to decide in that moment if you're going to be vulnerable, if you're going to share a part of you, the real reason why you're here, why you're interviewing. And that's super scary. Even in your 40s, even after doing it in 10 different interviews, you come out again and again and again and again throughout your life. And I just had to do it though, because I knew I wasn't going to start this new job in the closet. That wasn't an option. And I already had a good job that I was going to be leaving. So I had nothing to lose. And so I just put it all out there. And in that moment, when I asked Darren what was going on at Aspen High School, why there were these flags hanging, he said, oh, we have a really active GSA. And that just excited me so much. And I knew I just had to find the people. And he mentioned Cherry Smith. I'll give a shout out to one of my favorite humans here in the Valley. Cherry just really like embraced me. I kind of told her. And then it just so happens her husband works with my wife. So that was just like an immediate connection once I started getting to know some of the teachers at the high school. And I guess that was a long-winded response to that's how I'm involved in GSA. I knew if it didn't exist already, I was going to start one, but there was already that going on. So it's pretty easy to join up. Speakers were really fun. Talking about upcoming events in the community was what we did at GSA. Often there would be a topic or our student leaders would throw out kind of an idea and we would talk around that. But I think in high school GSAs, to get everyone to talk, it has always been difficult regardless of, whether we're on the computer, whether we're in person. And we just like to have fun. And I think just having fun and giving kids a safe space to do that, to laugh, to giggle, to have little inside jokes. Red Robin, yum, was like a call that they made, and like just fun little things that made our club special and unique are really what we miss, I think, the most right now. So obviously this is all a work in progress always. And we just met with Janet actually, and me and two of the other co-sponsors about maybe coming up with, specific topics and doing that for at least the students that are just coming up as leaders, kind of getting some foundational things done. And maybe if we do weekly topics, students can buy into it more because they know what's being discussed. And I mentioned that, as we show students syllabuses and as we tell them about our courses, we need to tell them what we're going to be doing in Zoom to make it worth their while. So I think as leaders, we need to do a better job of being transparent with them and having topics maybe right in this moment because it might be a little less comfortable. And then hopefully, again, getting back into school sooner than later so that we can support each other in person.
I've been fortunate to witness it. I've been able to go out and meet with the GSA at Aspen High School and see you in action. And the kids just gravitate towards you. So it's pretty pretty special to witness.
Well, I've always, I think as a teacher and as a lesbian, there are kids that are always going through this and that are going through what you've been through. Mm-hmm. And they just need someone to say, it's okay, I'm here. I'll be that ear, just talk. And they need someone to listen to them or to share maybe some things that they can't really share with their parents or they can't even share with other teachers that they don't fully trust. And while I don't have like mobs of kids following me around at every school I've worked at, there's been a small pod of students that I connect with and that kind of begin to lean on me. And then I kind of, not having children of my own, I think a lot of that passion, like I dump passion into teaching and working with students and educating. And it's kind of exciting because I have the time to do that. And I can follow through on those things. And I can pick up the phone if I think a student needs a call or so I'm not juggling so much in my personal life that I can't really help where help is needed or support where support is needed.
So Kim, I'm especially intrigued by what a technology integration specialist means. It's definitely a mouthful. So please tell our listeners what that role encompasses at Aspen High School.
Well, the role of technology integration specialist, or some school districts call it a TIS, some school districts call it a tech specialist. Tech integration, though, the core of that is supporting teachers integrating technology in their classrooms. So, right, we have teachers of all different ages, of all different backgrounds, and people come into education with different knowledge bases. And so my position focuses very largely on the technology that is changing schools and kind of keeping up with all of that. And so whereas a teacher, we want teachers to be focusing on curriculum and their content area, I get to spend most of my time focusing specifically on educational technology. And what that typically encompasses is a lot of training. So I'll facilitate trainings for teachers throughout the school year, all different shapes and sizes. That could be little snippets of trainings, that could be longer trainings. In my role, however, I have my master's in education, so I have my teaching certification, and I've always found it really fun and engaging for me in my role to also teach. I feel like when you have boots on the ground and you're having that shared experience with teachers, it really changes your perspective in the position. And so it helps me be more empathetic to their experience. And I think helps me in my job be better at what I do, because I'm also like in the act of actually teaching. So right now I'm teaching broadcast journalism, which we're calling Skier TV. And that's been one of the I think, you know, I don't want to toot our Skier TV horn too much. It's a small group of really dynamic students that are really interested in broadcast, from anchoring to editing to video editing and doing all of that. And that's my background. So I was a journalism major in college before I got my master's in education. And I love being able to bring that into my job. Like, I love being able to bring my undergrad in and work with kids on video production and television. And it's kind of also a side passion of mine, something I've always kind of kept up with. So we're doing Skier TV now. We had to switch to Zoom TV, and it's been quite an adventure, but had to pivot just like Jimmy Fallon had to pivot, just like all, you know, basically all of our Trevor Noah. And as you saw everyone, you know, filming their shows from home, that's what we've had to do as well. So currently I'm juggling tech integration and teaching a course, one class that meets a few times a week. And we put out a broadcast every single week so far since last November. So we're really have just had our 1 year anniversary of Skier TV. So pretty fun. But radio was actually my first passion. So this is really exciting being on the radio for me, because when I was in high school, radio, music fanatic, like always listening to the radio, did a really awesome internship in college at a radio station in Eugene, Oregon, where I went to college. And so I do have a little, I have some radio chops, and I really love podcasting and I love teaching students how to podcast. So that's all coming down the pipes. It's just, one thing at a time, you know?
You've got a couple things, you know,
yeah,
to navigate. So, rightly so, I get it. So to kind of pivot back to LGBT youth,
yeah,
what challenges do you feel that the LGBT plus youth and their parents in our valley are experiencing today, especially our youth continue to face? And that, you know, that could be whether it's identity issues or being, you know, trapped at home with their parents because of COVID, or what are you hearing or what are you feeling from, you know, a youth perspective as well as a parent perspective about what they're experiencing today?
I heard a really amazing story, speaking of the parent perspective, and the person, if this person listens to this, they'll know, but some really amazing things have come out of COVID. I think maybe some apologies. So there was a student who had been bullied a bit at AHS. And from what I've heard, through COVID, I think all of us had to really kind of assess ourselves a little bit and look a little bit more within and decide if, you know, is life too short to really treat people that way. And a group of kids came over and just straight up apologized to the student they had been bullying for LGBTQ reasons. And so those are the little like stories that I've heard that inspire me and make me think like, wow, as much as this was like, this is the most difficult time a lot of us will face and a lot of our students will face. I do think some of our youth have had some problems, right? So school is kind of your outlet, right? It should be the place where you can be yourself. And it's hard to completely be yourself in high school around your parents sometimes. And so not having our GSA community, for example, not being able to meet in person, not being able to see each other's emotions. Even now when we're meeting, cameras are off often. You know, maybe it could be for many different reasons, but as far as the struggles go, you know, yeah, I think maybe having to keep more inside than they normally would, not being able to talk. But I have to say, what I'm hearing also is that friendships are almost stronger than ever. And I think as educators, we really want to make sure that all of our students have someone or have a group of friends or have a support network around them. And from what I gather, despite COVID, friendships are thriving and becoming stronger. And so I would hope that if you didn't have a support system in place, or you didn't have a friend that you could kind of really open up to, then you should reach out to an adult or someone that you trust and find that support in some way right now and not just keep it all inside. We've had some difficulty keeping GSA going, to be perfectly honest. So when I think about being able to answer that question specifically, we haven't met as much. And when we have, it's been a little awkward, right? As we know, being vulnerable over a video chat, talking about really important topics and really trying to get to like the core of how we feel through a computer is really tough. So we have had fun when we have met as a GSA. We're using Jamboard. And so we were doing some artwork together. We're trying to do collaborative things together and try to keep it going. And I do have to give a shout out to Nick Sturtz at the middle school. He's one of the counselors over there. He's been really trying to keep the middle schoolers going, and they have often been dropping into our meetings, which has been really great. So I'm starting to see the GSA at Aspen High School become like the middle high school GSA, which is really cool because it's giving our high school students an opportunity to mentor the younger kids. And I think that makes a huge impact on them, and it goes both ways.
To actually see somebody thriving as an adult or even as a young adult and feeling more comfortable in their skin. You know I've been very fortunate in my life to have very positive role models, and that helped me come to terms with my sexuality and to come out and to be, you know, physically healthy, mentally healthy, you know, whatever that really means. But, you know, I feel like I'm in a good place because of people who were there for me.
I hear you. And it's really cool to hear our high school students encouraging the younger students and speaking as though they're okay. Here's what you're going to experience. Here's what you're going to be going through. Look how far we've come. Like this is where you're at right now. And so if we're kind of like reversing roles a little bit when we do that, of like, they're taking on this like super positive mentorship of our younger students, and all of that kind of plays into just sort of destigmatizing, right? Like we're all here together. And I think there's definitely work to be done with like the larger community. We still hear about bullying. We are not a bully-free zone by any stretch. So there is work to be done. And I think when groups come together in a GSA or something similar, that's where change is made. And we're constantly working towards that at the high school. It's just been so far what little experience I have with the GSA, which is just going on about a year and a half now. I'm really excited. And I think one of our biggest goals for a second semester coming up here is just to keep the cohesion there and to keep the group going. And maybe that's working with Gay for Good a little bit, getting the kids outside. And we just have to kind of start to be a little more creative about how to bring our community together.
There's a lot of question marks out there about
every day is a new day, right?
But in general, do you think that kids feel comfortable coming out at Aspen High School? And what do schools need to do to ensure that kids can come out safely?
You know, I don't think it's easy anywhere. I think it has to do with the support that's around you. Like if you have familial support, you're going through this. And if that all connects for you and you're able to do that and know that at the end of the school day, if something did go wrong, like you're going home to a safe environment with supportive parents, that makes it easier. But if you don't have that at home, it's really scary to come out at high school because I remember being 21 and running into a girl at a bar that worked with my father. God, I was at a gay bar and I literally like froze. I knew she worked with my dad. Oh my God, she's gonna tell him. I was 21 still having that, you know? And so I don't know if it's gotten any easier for kids. I think we talk about it a lot more. Look at this radio show we're doing. And I think there's really positive messaging coming from this particular community surrounding it. But I don't think it's any easier. I think, you know, kids still struggle with everything they always have. And, you know, the kids that do, it's just, it's amazing, you know, and I wish every kid could feel really safe coming out when they're ready in high school or middle school or elementary school for that matter. And we have kids at Aspen School District across the board, students that are out in all the schools, which is pretty incredible.
So Kim, one last question for you is, what piece of advice was helpful for you as a young person that you think some of our younger listeners could, it would resonate with them today?
I mean, be yourself, be proud of who you are, own who you are. There is no shame in being who you are, and you're loved, and you're loved by many. So especially right now, it's just important to come back to who you are and to really use this time of, you know, what could seem like isolation, of a lot of rules that are being imposed on you, to learn more about yourself and kind of who you want to be, and what you have to give, I think, to the world.
Being part of the LGBTQ plus community, you already feel isolated in a lot of ways, and then adding the COVID piece to it could feel even more isolating. So
absolutely,
thank you for talking about that, about the doing that self-discovery to really try to understand who you are, mm-hmm. seek out a mentor, definitely. Seek out someone you trust to be yourself around, test mm-hmm. it out, you know, be vulnerable with those people that you trust, because yeah. the ones are going to help build you up and make you an even better person than you are today.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You've been listening to Dimensions University on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains. We've been talking with Kim Zimmer, a technology integration specialist at Aspen High School. If you'd like more information about Gay for Good and their upcoming events, visit gayforgood.org/Rocky Mountains. Thanks for listening to Dimensions University on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.